Genghis Khan said, "I shall set forth against the Tangut people." He counted his troops anew, and in the autumn of the Year of the Dog set forth. Riding his steed, Yosoto Boro, on the way hunted the many wild asses of Arbuja. When the wild asses passed close by them, Yosoto Boro took fright. Genghis Khan fell off the horse, and his body being in great pain, he halted at Chorhat. He spent that night there, and the following morning Yesi Khatun said, "Princes and commanders, consult each other on what to do. The Khan has spent the night, his body hot with fever." Thereupon, the princes and commanders assembled, and Tolui Cherbi of the Hong Hotan advised as follows. "The Tangut people are ones who have towns with pounded earth walls, are ones who live in permanent camps. They won't leave, carrying off their towns with pounded earth walls. They won't leave, abandoning their permanent camps. Let us withdraw. Then, when the Khan's body has cooled down, we shall set out again." When he spoke thus, all the princes and commanders agreed with his words and petitioned Genghis Khan accordingly. But Genghis Khan said, "The Tangut people will say that we turned back because we lost heart. However, if we send envoys to them and watch right here at Chorhat which turn my illness takes, and withdraw after considering their reply, that would be fine." And so he sent envoys to carry the following message. "In the past, you said, we, the Tangut people, shall be your right wing. You did not keep your promise and did not give me troops, but came out with mocking words." Burhan of the Tangut said, "I did not speak the mocking words." Thereupon, Ashagambu of the Tangut said, "I spoke the mocking words. As for now, if you Mongols, who are used to fighting, say, let us fight." When his words were conveyed to Genghis Khan, his body was still hot with fever. Genghis Khan said, "This is enough. When one lets oneself be addressed so boastfully, how can one withdraw? Even if we die, let us challenge their boasts." And saying, "Eternal heaven, you be the judge," he moved in the direction of Alashai. When the people of the felt-walled tents had been brought to allegiance in the Year of the Tiger, they all gathered in the source of the Onan River. They hoisted the white standard with nine tails, and there they gave Genghis Khan the title of Khan. Having thus completed the task of setting the Mongol people in order, Genghis Khan said, "To those who sided with me when I was establishing our nation, I shall express my appreciation, and having formed units of 1,000, I shall appoint them commanders of 1,000. Genghis Khan made commanders of 1,000 those who had established the state with him and who had suffered with him. Forming units of 1,000, he appointed the commanders of 1,000 and of 110. Forming units of 10,000, he appointed the commanders of 10,000. The commanders of 10,000 and of 1,000 to whom reward seemed appropriate, he rewarded. Those who were to be commended, he commended." In the Year of the Sheep, Genghis Khan set out against the Hittat people. He took Vajiu, crossed over Hunagan Daban, took Sundivu and Sentjev, and Guigunuk Batar as vanguards. On reaching Chabchil, seeing that the Chabchil Pass was defended, Zhev there and then said, "We should entice them and get them to move and come after us. Then, let us put them to the test." So saying, he turned back. When they discovered that he had turned back, the Hittat troops said, "Let us pursue him." And they went in pursuit until the valleys and the mountains were completely covered with them. Upon reaching the spur of Sondivu, Zhev turned back, rushed forth against the enemies who were approaching in successive waves, and routed them. Genghis Khan, pressing on with the main body of the army, dislodged the Hittat from their positions, crushed the valiant and bold Juyan troops of the Khara Hittat and the Jurchet, slaying them until they were like heaps of rotten logs as far as Chabchil. Zhev took the gate of Chabchil, and after he had captured the passes and crossed over them, Genghis Khan pitched camp at Shira Degter. Launching the attack on Zhengde, he sent troops to various towns and cities, ordering them to attack. When Zhengde was under siege, a high official of the Altan Khan, Unjing Qingsang, advised the Altan Khan as follows. This is the destiny and favorable time decreed by heaven and earth. Could it be the time has come when the great throne will pass to a new ruler? The Mongols are coming in great might. They have crushed our valiant and bold elite Juyin troops of the Hara Hittat and the Jurchit, slaying them until they were utterly destroyed. Even Chabchil Pass, on which we were relying, they have wrested from us. If we now set our troops in order and send them out to fight, should they again be crushed by the Mongols, they will no doubt scatter and return to their various cities. And if we rally them against their will, they will turn against us and will no longer be our friends. If you, the Altan Khan, grant permission, let us, for the present, submit and come to terms with the ruler of the Mongols. When they came and submitted themselves, Chinggis Khan agreed to their proposal. He ordered back the troops that were attacking the various towns and withdrew. In the course of that military campaign, Chinggis Khan set out towards the Tangut people. When moving in their direction, he reached their country. Burhan Khan of the Tangut people said, "I shall submit, and becoming your right wing, I shall serve you." And he offered his daughter, called Chacha, to Chinggis Khan. Further, Burhan Khan said, "Hearing of Chinggis Khan's fame, we were in awe of you. Now your august person has arrived, you have come to us, and we are indeed awed by your majesty. Being awed, we, the Tangut people, have said, we shall become your right wing, and we shall serve you. When we serve you, know that we are the ones who live in permanent camps. We are the ones who have towns with pounded earth walls. And so, when we become your companions in waging a swift campaign, in fighting a deadly combat, we shall not be able to hasten into a swift campaign. We shall not be able to fight a deadly combat." Having thus obtained the submission of the Altan Khan of the Hittat people, named Ahutai, and Ilhu Burhan of the Tangut people in that campaign in the Year of the Sheep, Chinggis Khan returned home and set up camp on the Sari steppe. In the Year of the Hare, Chinggis Khan set out against the Sartul people, crossing the Alai. From among the ladies, he took with him Hulan Khatun, and having entrusted Ochigin Noyan from among his younger brothers with the main base camp, he moved forth. He sent Zhev as vanguard, he sent Subutai in support of Zhev, and sent Tohuchar in support of Subutai. He sent envoys to Burhan of the Tangut people with a message saying, "You said that you would be my right wing. As the Sartul people have broken my golden halter, I have set out to call them to account for their action. You set forth, too, as the right wing of my army." When the message he had sent was received, and before Burhan could utter a word, Ashagambu, forestalling him, said, "Since Chinggis Khan's forces are incapable of subjugating others, why did he go as far as becoming Khan?" So saying, he did not dispatch auxiliary troops to him and sent back the envoys with haughty words. Thereupon, Chinggis Khan said, "How can we bear being spoken to in this manner by Ashagambu? The best plan would be for us to send troops against them at once by detouring in their direction. What difficulty would there be in that? But now, when we are indeed in the direction of other people, let that pass. If I am protected by eternal heaven, when I come back pulling in strongly my golden reins, then surely this matter shall be dealt with." Jalaluddin Sultan and Khan Melik moved against Chinggis Khan. Shigi Hutuhu went as vanguard before Chinggis Khan. Jalaluddin Sultan and Khan Melik fought with Shigi Hutuhu. They defeated Shigi Hutuhu and, pressing on, approached as far as Chinggis Khan. At that moment, however, Zhev, Subutai, and Tohuchar came in from behind Jalaluddin Sultan and Khan Melik, overcame them, and utterly destroyed them. By so doing, they prevented them from joining forces in the cities of Buhar, Semizgab, and Udara. They pursued them as far as the Shin River, and when, being pressed, the Sartul started throwing themselves into it, many of them did indeed perish there, in the Shin River. Jalaluddin Sultan and Khan Melik fled upstream along it, saving their lives. Chinggis Khan advanced along the Shin River upstream and set up camp in the Baruan. Then Chinggis Khan, returning from the Barwan Plain, sent his three sons, Jochi, Chadai, and Ogaday, saying, "Cross the Amui River with the troops of the right wing and set up camp at the city of Urangechi." He sent Tolui, saying, "Set up camp at Iru, Isabur, and many other towns." Chinggis Khan himself encamped at the city of Udirar. The three sons, Jochi, Chadai, and Ogaday, sent the following request: "Our troops are completely assembled. We have reached the city of Urangechi. Of the three of us, according to whose words should we act?" Upon their request, Chinggis Khan sent a message to them ordering that they should act according to the words of Ogaday. Then Chinggis Khan, having brought the city of Udirar to submission, set out from the city of Udirar and pitched camp at the city of Semizgab. Setting out from the city of Semizgab, he pitched camp at the city of Buhar. Thereupon, Chinggis Khan waited for Bala and spent the summer at the ridge of the Altan Khurhan in the former summer quarters of the Sultan. From there he sent messengers to Tolui, saying, "The weather has become warm. The other troops must set up camp too. You come and join us." When he sent this message, Tolui had captured the cities of Iru, Isabur, and others, had destroyed the city of Sistan, and was just destroying the city of Chucheren. When the messengers gave him this message, Tolui, having destroyed the city of Chucheren, returned to pitch camp and joined Chinggis Khan. Jochi, Chadai, and Ogaday, these three sons of Chinggis Khan, subjugated the city of Urangechi. They shared the people of the cities among all three of them, but did not give Chinggis Khan a share. Just as Chinggis Khan was addressing them with reprimands and admonitions, Honghai Horchi, Honghatar Horchi, and Chormahan Horchi, these three quiver bearers, also petitioned Chinggis Khan as follows: "Like grey falcons that have just begun training, the sons are barely learning how to wage a military campaign, and at such a time you rebuke them in this way, piling abuse on them. Why? For fear lest the sons, being afraid, will lose heart. From the place where the sun sets to the place where it rises, there are enemy people. If you incite us, your Tibetan dogs, and send us on a mission with our strength increased by heaven and earth, we shall bring back for you enemy people, gold, silver, satin, goods, and subjects. If you say, 'Which people?' We say, 'Here in the west, there is one called the Halabai Sultan of the Bakhtat people. Let us move against him.' And so they petitioned him. The Khan was appeased by these words, and his anger abated. Chinggis Khan approved their proposal. He sent Chormahan on a campaign against the Bakhtat people and the Halabai Sultan. Chinggis Khan spent 7 years in the country of the Sartul people, and then Chinggis Khan returned home. On the way, he spent the summer on the river Erdish. In the autumn of the Year of the Hen, the 7th year of the campaign, he settled at his palaces in the Black Forest." After spending the winter there, Chinggis Khan said, "I shall set forth against the Tangut people." He counted his troops anew, and in the autumn of the Year of the Dog, set forth. Burhan of the Tangut said, "I did not speak the mocking words." Thereupon, Ashagambu said, "I spoke the mocking words. As for now, if you Mongols who are used to fighting say, 'Let us fight.' I have an encampment in the Alashai. I have tents of thin woolen cloth. I have camels laden with goods. Let us fight there." He sent this message to Chinggis Khan. Chinggis Khan moved in the direction of Alashai. He arrived there and fought with Ashagambu. He overcame Ashagambu and forced him to barricade himself up on the Alashai. He captured Ashagambu and plundered his people, who had tents of thin woolen cloth, who had camels laden with goods, until they were blown to the winds like hearth ashes. He then gave the following order: "Kill the valiant, the bold, the manly, and the fine Tanguts, and let the soldiers take for themselves as many of the common Tanguts as they can lay hands on and capture." Chinggis Khan spent the summer on Chasatu Mountain. He sent troops against the Tanguts, who had tents of thin woolen cloth, who had camels laden with goods, and who, with Ashagambu, had made for the mountains and were offering resistance. He caused his troops to plunder them as planned until they were utterly destroyed. Then, showing favor to Borchu and Mohale, he ordered that they should take as much booty as in their judgment their strength could carry. Chinggis Khan moved away from the Chasatu mountain and set up camp at the city of Urahai. After setting out from the city of Urahai, while he was destroying the city of Durmagay, Burhan came to pay homage to Chinggis Khan. On that occasion, when Burhan paid homage, Chinggis Khan felt revulsion within his heart. On the third day, Chinggis Khan issued an order giving Ulughu Burhan the name Shiduhu. Chinggis Khan then ordered that Ulughu be put to death and that Tolui Cherbi seize and execute him with his own hands. After he had plundered the Tongut people and, making Burhan change his name to Siduhu, had done away with him, and after having exterminated the Tongut people's mothers and fathers down to the offspring of their offspring, maiming and taming, Chinggis Khan gave the following order. While I take my meals, you must talk about the killing and destruction of the Tongut and say, maimed and tamed, they are no more. Because the Tongut people gave their word but did not keep it, Chinggis Khan for the second time took the field against them. Having destroyed the Tongut people, Chinggis Khan came back and in the year of the pig ascended to heaven. In the year of the rat, the princes of the right hand, headed by Chadai and Batu, the princes of the left hand, headed by Ochigin Noyan, Yegu, and Yisunge, the princes of the center, headed by Tolui, the princesses, the imperial sons-in-law, the commanders of 10,000 and those of 1,000, all assembled in full force at Hurdu Aral on the Helurin River, in accordance with the very decree by which Chinggis Khan had nominated him. They installed Ogaday Khan as Khan. Ogaday Khan, having concluded the installation of himself as Khan and the transfer of the 10,000 guards on internal duty together with the domain of the center to himself, held first of all a consultation with his elder brother Chadai, whereupon he sent Ochotor and Mongetu on a campaign in support of Chomahan Horchi, who had taken the field against the Halabai Sultan of the Bakhtat people, a people not dealt with by his father, Chinggis Khan. Earlier on, Subutai, campaigning against Mehet, Menkhermen, Kheibe, and other cities, had crossed the rivers Adil and Jayakh, rich in waters, and had reached as far as the Hanglin, Kipchat, Bajigit, Orosut, Asut, Sesut, Majar, Kashmir, Segersut, Buhar, and Herul peoples. As Subutai had been put in a difficult position by these peoples, Ogaday Khan sent forth Batu, Buri, Guyuk, Monge, and several other princes in support of Subutai. Having put Oldahar Horchi in charge of the great palaces, in the year of the hare, Ogaday Khan set out against the Hittite people. He sent forth Shev as vanguard. He thus crushed the Hittite troops, slaying them until they were like heaps of rotten logs. He crossed Chabchiel and ordered his troops to advance and attack their towns and cities in every direction. There, Ogaday Khan fell ill. When he lost his speech and was in great distress, various shamans and soothsayers were ordered to divine the cause of the illness. When they divined by inspecting the entrails of victims and said to the lords and rulers of the lands and rivers, "We shall give, as substitute for the Khan, people, gold and silver, cattle and food," the illness did not abate. When they divined further by inspecting the entrails and said, "Could a person from the Khan's family serve as a substitute?" the Khan, opening his eyes, requested water, drank it, and asked, "What has happened?" The shamans then reported to the Khan as follows: "When we say, 'Could a person from the Khan's family serve as substitute?' the illness abates. Now, your order shall decide." After they had made their report, the Khan said, "Who is at my side from among the princes?" To these words, Prince Tolui, who was at his side, said, "In truth, if my elder brother, the Khan, dies, the numerous Mongol peoples would be left orphans. the Hittat people would rejoice at their good fortune. I shall take the place of my elder brother, the Han." Thus he spoke, and as the shamans made their incantations, Prince Dolui drank the magic water. Then he sat for a moment and said, "I have become drunk. While I recover from my drunkenness, let elder brother, the Han, decide how best to take care of his younger brothers, who are orphaned and young, and of his younger sister-in-law, who is widowed, until they are able to look after themselves. I have said all I have to say." Such is the manner in which he died. Then Ogede Han destroyed the Altan Han and gave him the name Seuse. He despoiled him of his gold, silver, gold-embroidered and patterned satins, possessions, piebald horses and young slaves. Having established scouts and garrison troops, and having appointed resident commissioners in Nanjing, Chengdu, and in cities everywhere, he peacefully returned home, setting up camp at Harahurum.